Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Hey, if you're a repeat listener, please leave us a review or a rating. It would really help catapult us into the top 100. We're bouncing in and out on a weekly basis, and a review or a rating from you on your favorite podcast app would go a long way. Thanks so much. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, the number one dropshipping podcast in the world, by the way. Today, we're going to answer a question. Is it better to dropship low-ticket products as a beginner? And John, I gotta say, I actually don't know where this question is coming from. Like, can you help me understand where, like, the psychology behind it? Why would somebody ask the question, is it better to dropship low ticket products? Is it simply like a money thing? I'm very confused on why someone would want to start there.
Yeah. So we do get this question a bit, you know, where people email it into us. We get it in our Facebook groups. And it seems to be, from digging into that with a few people, that the assumption that people make when they hear about low ticket or high ticket is, of course, they go straight to the price of the product. So they think, oh, high ticket product, you know, maybe it's $2,000. Like, surely that's more risky to sell that product. Like, what if I get a return? Or it must cost a lot more to sell that product or something like that. Or it must just be a lot harder to sell that product. Whereas the low ticket product, you know, it just feels a bit easier because nobody's making much commitment there. You know, it's not much commitment for you to buy the product. There's not much commitment for the customer to buy the product. And surely it must cost less to sell it. And then if I do get a return, it's not really going to matter because it didn't cost much in the first place. I think that's where people go for whatever reason. And obviously, I think through just ultimately a case of completely understandable naivety, they just jump to some conclusions without knowing the kind of the full picture about how dropshipping works, how selling things online works, and they make some assumptions about that before they've actually. So we see quite a few people who are like, oh, I've started a low-ticket dropshipping business and I'm going to start selling high-ticket sometime in the future.
I had that the other day in my DM, someone saying, I think I'm going to start with low-ticket. You have any advice? And I said, yeah, order 50 of them instead of dropshipping them from China. And he was like, why would I do that? And I'm like, you're setting up your customer for disappointment. If you can sell one of those, great. I'm really happy for you. It's different marketing. And we can get into that here of like why this is different. But if you sell them a product that shows up 40 days later in a heavily taped box from China and it's a piece of fucking shit, you're just going to disappoint customers. You're going to create, as my friend George says, anti-marketers. You're going to create someone who says, this company sucks. And when the friend goes, hey, did you see that ad on Facebook? And they're gonna be like, yeah, that sucks. Don't buy that thing. Right. And like, that's not what we're trying to do in business. We're trying to create more marketers for our business. Word of mouth is the biggest channel ever. You're just not going to have that in low ticket. And so if he brought them in house, number one, he would get them in his hand and be like, wow, these suck. I'm not going to sell these. And then two, if he did decide to sell them, at least then he'd be able to get them to his customers in a decent amount of time in a, perhaps, you know, a decent looking box. I don't know. I'm against the idea of low ticket dropshipping. I just don't understand it. So we can break down the differences here, but I keep going back to the why. How do we separate the product, the fear of this might be harder to sell this, this might cost more to sell this, returns might be costly. How do we break down that fear on a product basis and teach this more as like a marketing? The marketing is different. The two types of dropshipping are completely handled differently. And I think once you understand that, you can wrap your head around why it's actually more sensical to choose high ticket.
I think that the fear is really tied up in the cost, right? So I usually try to come at it from that direction and break it down into a couple of things. One, like, what's the reality around returns? And we actually did a podcast on returns recently, right? We did a show on how you handle returns. And we talked a bit about this in that episode. Like, what's the actual reality around returns here? You know, so when you're talking about low ticket products, often you're talking about crappy, cheaper products, right? That people buy on an impulse. They haven't really thought about it. They don't even really think they need the product. Often the product takes a long time to get to them. Often it turns up broken. Often it's low quality. Often they realize they didn't even really need it. If you're in any sort of apparel or clothing stuff, you're going to have a high return rate there because it might not be the right size. It might not fit. It might not look right exactly as it did in the photos. So when you're doing low ticket, actually, you're potentially facing a much higher return rate, whereas when people are buying high ticket products and they're making a serious commitment to a product, they tend to have done a lot of research and they know what they want. They know what their problem is, what the solution is, and the product that's going to provide that. And then you're buying these products from reputable, established, oftentimes for 20, 30 years in the market, brands or more oftentimes, who are in your country. You know, they have to adhere to certain standards. You know, if you want to sell a product here in Australia, it's got to meet all these Australian standards for it to even be sold here, right? So it's got to meet a minimum level of build quality and all of this sort of stuff. And so the chance of returns there, I can get the counterintuitiveness of this, but the level of returns on high ticket stuff is significantly lower because of those factors, right? So you can kind of knock that one aside, and then people will think, I think the other big question is that people just think it's harder to sell high ticket stuff, or it's harder to do it profitably or something like that, which I think, once again, it's just a completely wrong way of looking at it, right? So it's actually, when you think about dropshipping and you're working with dropshipping margins, right? So you're going to get the same margins when you're whether you're selling a low ticket thing or a high ticket thing, right? And if you think about it in percentage terms, you might say, yeah, that's okay. You get 30% margin on everything, right? But percentages, you can't take percentages to the bank, right? You can't go to the shops and say, oh, can I buy that? I get a 30% margin in my business. Now, you're going to go there and you're going to buy it with dollars, right? So when you think about margins in dollar terms, there's a significant difference. And here's the really good bit for me, I think. Oftentimes, it will cost the same amount of money to sell a high-ticket product as a low-ticket product. And I think this is the thing that a lot of people miss, is that they make the assumption that selling a low-ticket product is also really cheap, because they haven't been exposed to doing things like Facebook ads, or which is where you're going to start with low ticket, right? You're going to be getting on social media, you're going to be trying to crash your way into people's feed and put something there that they don't even know they want or need and hope that they buy it. Well, here's a little reality check. Doing that ain't cheap. It certainly isn't as cheap. It was cheap in 2010, right? Or 2012 or something like that. It's not cheap anymore. That's a really competitive space now. So, and you're selling low stuff. You can only afford to spend $10 or less to make a sale. That's actually very challenging, to do that, and to do that at scale, right? And I don't think a lot of people who are sold the idea of low ticket dropshipping aren't told that yes, advanced level marketers can do it, right? Guys with lots of experience with, you know, might be spending money on, they might have ad buyers on their team. They might be working with a big agency to help them do this. They can do it. But when you're just starting out as a beginner, it's really, really fucking tough to do that. I got to be honest. Even managing the creative load you have to manage to do it at scale to grow your business, it's really, really tough. And it's much more expensive than it sounds from the outside.
If you're a listener to this show, you either are a high-ticket dropshipper or you're considering becoming one. And if you're in that second group, you're probably wondering, what am I going to sell? Who am I going to serve? Well, we have the perfect product for you. It's called the 5-Day Challenge. You can find it at dropshipbreakthrough.com/5. For $97 in just 5 days, you will figure out what you're going to sell, who you're going to serve. And at the end of those 5 days, you'll hop on a call with either John or myself, and we will verify what you chose and give you the pros and cons, the ups and downs, and help you get started on the right foot. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/5. Yeah, I think if I was going to lean into two things here, I would start with the analogy of you want to make $30,000 in revenue. If you're selling a $30 product, you're going to need to sell 1,000 of those. And if you're selling a $3,000 product, you're going to need to sell 10 of those. And so using that same information, we need to go look at the marketing, right? If you look at the marketing, one is demand generation. You're on Facebook, TikTok, like John just said, generating that demand. And for a $30 product, best case scenario, you've got 50% margins. You have $15 to go acquire that customer and break even on that sale, right? Now, of course, you can do upsells, things like that, get your average order value up. But realistically, it's going to cost you probably $20 to $30 to acquire a customer on the good side when you're doing demand generation. When you're doing demand capture, which is what high ticket calls for, people are already searching for these things. And yes, you're paying for ads, but not on the social media platforms. Where does someone go when they go search for products? They go to Google, right? And they're going to type in brand name, product name, or product type, brand name, or product type, brand name, things like that. And like, you're going to be able to get in front of them when they're already searching for a product to buy and step in front of them and hopefully make a sale, if not, get them on your list and remarket them. But here's the catch, right? It's probably going to cost you the same $20 to $30 on the good end to acquire a customer. But when we go back to that analogy, when you have $30 for a price point of a product, like a supplement like this, you've got $10 or $15 to acquire that customer. And if you're spending $20 or $30, you're not making money unless you can really increase that average order value. For my $3,000 product, I likely have $1,000 in margin. So I will happily go well above that $20 to $30, which again is a good case scenario in most cases to acquire the customer so that I can make more sales. Like if I can spend $1,000 to acquire a customer, I'm likely going to get 3 to 4 sales, 4 to 10 sales, depending on the product, right? And the math adds up very quickly for you to have a very profitable month with less expenditure, right? If you only need 10 orders a month to do 30,000 revenue, how many people are you going to need to fulfill that? How many team members are you going to need to answer customer requests and returns and chargebacks and anything else that could come in your business versus if you had 1,000 orders that showed up 40 days later, bet you're going to have some customer service issues, right? You're going to need more team members to handle those 1,000 orders, to get those 1,000 orders processed, to handle the returns, to handle the complaints, to handle the Karens. You're just going to need more people. You're going to have less margin to hire those people. You're going to have less margin to go acquire those customers in the first place. And so I just don't see how dropshipping low ticket products ever make sense. I can't find a scenario unless you were the first person to stumble on fidget spinners or some really, really hot trend and you're number one or in the first 10%. I just don't see a scenario where it ever makes sense to dropship low ticket products. The only other one where it makes sense to me, John, is like, you want to start a brand. You've narrowed it down. This is the brand I want to start. And you kind of want to test some products to see how they fit in the marketplace without having to place a $5, $10, $20,000 initial order. Maybe I dropship a couple products. Maybe I don't dropship at all. I just send my list and give them the opportunity to buy something and then see if I get enough demand. If I don't, I just refund all those people and start over. That's the only scenario I can ever see like pushing into considering dropshipping something from there. And then even if you do, if one of those wins, I'm going back to that supplier, changing everything, getting packaging done. I'm not continuing to dropship those products because that just never makes sense. The numbers aren't there. The customer satisfaction isn't there. I don't understand it in general.
Yeah, I think we can get be even realer here. I mean, you have personal experience here, right? Not exactly in the low ticket dropshipping, but I mean, you've taken a high ticket business, past 8 figures in annual revenue. You've seen what that looks like just from marketing, from the operations, from running the business, you know, everything that's involved in that, which let's face it, that's somewhere where a lot of people would love to be able to get to. And you also have a business that sells lower ticket products. I mean, yes, you're not drop shipping them, you're pet supplements, but they're lower ticket products, right? Now, you're not there yet, but imagine that was, I'm sure you can imagine what it would look like if that was an 8-figure-a-year business. Like what do you think would be easier? Like what would, like how would you compare the two?
It's a great question. I think there's some things that are similar and then things that are different, right? So the things that are different to me are cash flow issues. When you're drop shipping, assuming everything ships in that month, which isn't always the case, you're done. That month is over. That book is wrapped up. And for the most part, you can pay out the profits to yourself or to your partners. You might want to hold a little bit back for returns or chargebacks or growth of your business. But for the most part, that is wrapped up. When you own your own e-commerce brand, you are constantly in this cash conversion cycle that is an absolute nightmare. You, on paper, look extremely wealthy. The IRS thinks you're extremely wealthy, but you don't ever get to see that cash until you continue to go over these mountains. And it constantly seems like you're going to get there. And then more demand comes. You got to buy more product. You got to get further ahead. You got to work on terms with your suppliers. And it is honestly, it's a cash nightmare. However, it's not likely you're going to sell a pellet grill every month to the same customer. Whereas if somebody buys one of my pet supplements and their dog stops limping, they're never stopping buying that supplement until their animal, you know, passes away, unfortunately. And so it is a bit different, but it's different in ways I can't explain. And, you know, I haven't been to eight figures in the low ticket thing. I have in the other ones. I would say, honestly, it just started getting fun in that business when we got to eight figures, because there's so much you can do, right? You're a retailer, you're drop shipping. But once you have that kind of revenue coming in, you can pivot that revenue into creating your own brand and placing your own brand there, where now you don't have the drop shipping margins, which are, you know, 20 to 40%. Maybe now you have 60 to 80% margins on a product that hopefully is way better, way more margin, and really solves the need of the customers that you've been listening to probably for years at that point, tell you what's wrong with all the stuff you already are selling. And you can go out there and make literally the best product and then really take advantage, right? That's going to push you from 10 to 100 million. They're different, John. I don't know how to say it. Like, there is a lot of stuff that's the same. Of course, it's e-commerce, but I'm not handling nearly the number of orders in a high-ticket dropshipping business that I am in one of these businesses. This one, I'm dealing with Amazon, which has its own headaches, right? Like, the customer's always right over there. We've seen returns for the wildest stuff and crazy random reviews that definitely aren't true. We deal with Chewy, so we have to worry about EDI connections and deal with third-party systems there. Just there's a lot different. And I'm not saying one's right or wrong. I would not want to like actually turn somebody away from wanting to start their brand. I just think if you're doing nothing right now, high ticket dropshipping is easily the best answer for you, like out of the gates. It is such little investment. I think we're going to go through that in a future episode here of like, what does it look like to start right now? Such little investment with such high upside. And to me, it's all about skill acquisition, and you're going to get that in high ticket dropshipping. And I actually don't think you're going to get that in low ticket dropshipping, because you're not going to have the budget to go actually figure this stuff out and run good ads. And love the shit out of your customer after you make the sale. I just don't think you're going to have the margins to do any of that fun stuff.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question to that question I just asked you was, imagine your pet supplement business, you weren't holding stock and you were just drop shipping that stuff. Like, how, like, compared to the high ticket dropshipping business, how hard do you think it would be to take that to the same sort of level? Like, could you even imagine doing that?
I think too much would be out of my control there. Just the sheer number of orders without any, you know, control of how those orders are taking shape, let alone I'm really trusting somebody to, you know, nail some things on the product that I have no control over. That sounds a little scary to me.
Yeah, it sounds horrifying to me. Like, just the having known how much work goes into very manageable work, I think, into getting a high ticket dropshipping business to that level, but then just thinking about like eight figures of $20 products, like that just sounds horrifying to me, honestly. Like, I got into this business to do stuff to get greater control over my time and all of that sort of thing. And just having to manage the amount of people you would need to grow a low ticket business to that level. And I'm just like, nah, man, that's such a big turnoff.
I would just challenge anyone. Like, we're all on social media. We're all flicking our phones. You've seen these products come across, and I guarantee you've probably thought about, if not have purchased some of these. And if you're still listening here at the 18 minute mark and you've actually bought one of these products, how many times were you happy? I bet it's nearly zero. I've done it just for fun. Like, I'm actually looking for some right now in my feed so that I can buy some for a future video I want to create for us, John. They're fucking terrible. I haven't got one yet that I'm thrilled with. I bought this like giant bubble gum for my niece, or bubble gun for my two twins and for my niece. It doesn't work anymore. It didn't take very long to not work anymore. It was like $50 for this like giant bubble gum with millions of bubbles or whatever, right? I don't know where it is, but I bought a monocle, and I've told this story on this podcast before, right? The ad was like somebody zooming into a hot chick on a beach, and I was like, yeah, I bet that works. I bet that gets a bunch of people to buy this thing. I buy a lot of this stuff to watch funnels. I don't know about you, John, but I funnel hack all the time. Yeah, I buy a ton of products, and totally. I route their emails into folders so that I can see what they're doing. This product was one of those, and it doesn't work. I don't have a beach nearby to test out whether that was the secret or not, whether I needed a hot chick on a beach a mile away to zoom into, but it definitely didn't work just zooming in on the birds on my bird feeder or, you know, looking down my street. The thing didn't work. I've never been satisfied. Clip that if you want to use that against me. I've never been satisfied by a product I purchased on social media. I'm just being honest.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Exactly. That's coming back to bite me for sure.
No, I'd agree. And I just don't see that many ads, to be honest, for those sort of products anymore, which kind of in and of itself tells you something. Like social media is much less awash with low ticket dropship products
You know where they are right now? I'm a Twitter junkie. They're all over Twitter, which means people are still making money. But man, I should, maybe I'll clip some and throw them in the Facebook group this week of like the products that are going by in my Twitter feed. Cause they're terrible.
Maybe that's an upcoming show. We both just buy a bunch of these products and see how bad they really are.
It's got to be. All right. Again, if you're listening still, walk around your house and think about the shit you spent $1,000 to $10,000 on. Is it garbage? Do you regret buying that? Probably not. Now go look at all the stuff that you bought on those ads and compare it, right? Like, I just can't imagine the person listening to this getting excited about selling that fucking garbage when you can sell real, legit, high-quality products and be a reputable dealer yourself. Be a real business. I don't get it, John. I really don't get it.
No, I don't. And if you're listening and you're thinking about starting the low-ticket lifestyle, please don't.
Lowticketlifestyle.com, I think. No, come give us a shot. I would just say, like, if this is your first episode, go back and listen to some others and see what you think. Like, listen through our process. Start at episode one and understand what this model is and listen to our process. And you'll be convinced that, like, you don't want to sell shit products and have shit customers. You want to sell real products and you want to make real profit. And you want to design an asset that can help you grow as a human being and grow through your journey of life and help you achieve freedom. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And if you are like interested in that low ticket stuff and you're listening to people talk about it, like ask some real questions around that. Like you've got to ask questions around that. How many people does it take to run this business? What are the overheads involved in that? How much does it cost you to make a sale? All of that sort of stuff. That's what, because I guarantee you when you dig into that sort of stuff, you're either not going to get any serious answers or, you know, you're going to see that it's in a lot of ways a bit of a facade.
Or just go try it. $29 to spin up a Shopify store. It's free to go look on AliExpress and copy the photos and then, you know, go build yourself a Facebook ad and see if you can sell some product. And maybe you'll sell a few and then maybe you'll have some customers who are very unhappy with you and you'll be like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. I would just encourage anyone to like take action, whether it's with us, whether it's with another course, whatever it is. Like the longer you sit and listen to these podcasts and do nothing, the longer it's going to take for you to like find the freedom that you seek. And so obviously John and I are big advocates for high ticket dropshipping. We do think it is the best thing for beginners. We have a course, dropshipbreakthrough.com/join, or if you just want to find your products, dropshipbreakthrough.com/find5. Find something for you to like get going, because you're never going to make progress by doing nothing and consuming and feeling like you're doing something by learning. The truth is you're gonna feel like you did something by actually fucking doing something. So take action. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. and go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.